Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial. And up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This week it's Paul Montague's turn to join us on these weekly discussions. And as he's traveling, we've had to record this in a hotel room. So if the quality is lower than usual, we apologize for that. Well, if you missed Paul's previous interview, he's been a Blevins Franks advisor in Spain for 20 years now. First in Tenerife and now in Andalusia. Paul and I are going to talk about UK's concept of domicile, how it differs from tax residency, and why it's important for British expatriates. So Paul, let's start with you explaining what tax residence is and what taxes that make you liable for in Spain.
If at the end of the year, the tax year in Spain is the calendar year, so January to December, if you add up all the days you've spent in Spain collectively throughout the calendar year, in any one year, if these are 183 days or more, you are what I call a de facto tax resident. So you're a fiscal resident of Spain. What does this mean? It means you've got a responsibility to declare all your regular income. And in addition, capital gains, for example, investment gains. These should be declared on what you call a Modelo 100 in the preceding year. So the year of 2023, calendar year tax year, you'll make a tax return, or your tax representative will make a tax return Modelo 100 based on 2023. It's important to realise income tax is not due on a remittance basis. People think that, well, I'll bring some income into Spain, I'll have it paid into my bank account. No, it's taxed wherever it's received, even if you bring it into Spain or not.
So what is domicile? How is it different from residence? And how does it affect taxation?
Tax residence, yeah. Domicile is a tricky one to get anyone's head round. So I'll try and keep it quite simple, with no disrespect to the listeners. Tax residence is a short-term concept. It's determined each year, as I mentioned earlier, and it reflects where you reside. So you live in Spain, you make your tax return, that's a tax residence. It can change from year to year, you know, if you move countries. Domicile is completely different than residence. Let me point out the obvious before I attempt to explain in more detail. On death of a UK domiciled individual, right, so somebody who lives in the UK, or has lived in the UK, is still a UK domicile of origin, so they still belong to the UK. Inheritance tax is due on his or her worldwide assets, not just UK assets, worldwide assets. Whereas a non-UK domicile, so somebody who doesn't live there, somebody who shook off the UK domicile, UK inheritance tax is only due on assets based in the UK. So that's important to realise. Domicile, it's more long-term, obviously, and refers to where you consider to have your home, your permanent home, Howard, over the course of your life. Probably where you intend to die. I know it's a bit grim to mention death, but it's very important when discussing domicile. It's where your central vital interests are, where your doctor, your dentist, your tax and finance advisor included. But domicile is not important to the vast majority of people who live in the UK, but it's becoming more and more important for British expatriates living in Europe, in Spain, in France, in Germany, etc. I explain domicile, it's like a shadow, but it can be shaken off. It takes at least 4 years to shake your domicile of origin. My domicile of origin is the UK, yours is the UK. You've lived in Spain for an awful long time, as I have. There's a good chance that we've acquired a new domicile of choice, so we've lost a domicile of origin. If we went back tomorrow with the intentions of living in the UK, reliving in the UK, we revert back to our domicile of origin immediately. But otherwise, if you want to shake it off, so you save an awful lot, or your family save an awful lot of inheritance taxes, it takes at least 4 years to do this. But it can be extremely worthwhile for beneficiaries, children. And you have to get it right. You have to take special advice on this.
What are the three types of domicile under UK law?
Right, what are three domicile of UK? Well, really, I only talk about two, Howard. There's domicile of origin, as I've mentioned, a domicile of choice, as I mentioned. There's also something called domicile of dependence, which means the domicile of the person on whom they are deemed to be legal dependent. So children living in the UK short term, but the people looking after them a UK domicile. It's something we don't really talk about, Howard, to be honest. But those are the three main ones, two that we deal with on a daily basis.
So, how does one acquire a domicile of choice in Spain?
A domicile of choice is essentially just changing your domicile from your origin to another country. When you decide you want to acquire a domicile of choice, you've got two basic things that need to happen, Howard. You need to make your intention clear. You know, you have to take steps, lose attachments to the UK, close the doors behind you. You need to have a permanent residence in the country you've chosen. You need to buy a house. You have to pay your taxes there. You have to show that you've moved properly to another country. In addition to those two basic things, that's a starting point. You should spend, as I said, 4 years outside the UK. You shouldn't really have available accommodation in the UK if you're trying to shake off your domicile from the UK. You could do extreme steps such as buy a burial plot in Spain. Make a local will, which we always recommend, and mention that you wish to die in Spain. Show that intention. I know, again, it's a little bit grim, but it's certainty that it works well. The lawyers or your legal representative fill in forms and after your death. You should become a member of clubs and societies and show that you're there for good. You show that you've made the move and it's a permanent move.
Well, once you've taken all these steps, what happens? Will HM Revenue and Customs confirm your domicile status?
No, there's no formal process, however, for agreeing your domicile status with the HMRC. What we do recommend is take advice to leading up to your demise to make make sure the steps have been covered off properly. And that's the best advice I can give you.
Do you have any final advice for our listeners on effective inheritance tax planning in Spain?
As I mentioned earlier to that question, you should show that you close the door behind you. You're not a member of any club societies, you've not got accommodation, you're not paying your taxes in the United Kingdom, and really show commitment to your newly acquired domicile, and don't have any attachments to the UK that would otherwise show an intention of returning to the United Kingdom. For that question, take advice from well-versed professional companies such as Blevins-Franks, who've been doing this since 1975. In addition to that, it's always wise to position your assets correctly. Or it may be a voluntary tax otherwise. Let me give you an example of that, if I may, Howard. I was talking to a lady a couple of weeks ago who's becoming a client, and we're a very tax-centric company, and everything revolves around tax. And she's looking to base some assets from a UK investment because a UK advisor can no longer look after her because of Brexit. And we're very busy doing this. And she said, Paul, can you look after my assets? And I said, yeah, sure we can. But I pried into a situation, and she's been in outside the UK for 34 years. She's worked in Andalusia. She's got all the central vital interests in Andalusia. She hardly ever goes back to the United Kingdom, but she has £1.15 million worth of assets there. And she's divorced, And what does that mean? Well, on her death, even though she's a non-UK domicile, I'm pretty sure of that. I filled the questionnaire and the team okayed that. What would happen on her death with all those UK assets? Anything above £325,000, so 1.15 million minus £325,000, would be liable for UK inheritance tax at 40%. So it's over £300,000 of tax that she would, not she would pay, she's not allowed around anymore. Her three beneficiaries, UK beneficiaries, would pay. So that, when I say voluntary tax, that's what I'm talking about. It's not, she wouldn't, it's not a nice position to be in. Also, I would say, well, if you're not going to hold it in the UK, where are you going to hold it? I wouldn't put it into Spain, because Spanish probate, it's notorious and it takes forever. So you can hold it not in those two jurisdictions, and as well as speeding up the process of probate for estate, it also makes sure that you're avoiding the taxes, not just in the UK, but also Spain.
And finally, Paul, I understand that Blevins Franks has some more seminars coming up. Can you remind listeners what and where they are?
Yeah, we've got seminars. We just started our seminar season, actually. The next ones are as close as next week, on the 7th, 8th and 9th of March, in Sotogrande, Marbella and Fuengirola, respectively. At these seminars, we're going to talk about tax, inheritance planning, domicile, investment, pension capital, and generally provide clarity through a questions and answers session at the end. So that's the first lot. The next batch is at on the 14th and 21st of March, Almerimar and Cuevas del Amanzora in Almeria. So that's 14th and 21st of March. Then Dehesa de Campo Amor in Alicante on the 22nd. I'm not familiar with these towns, so please forgive me. In April, May, in addition, we'll have seminars in Mallorca and Tenerife at the end of April and early May. I'll be talking at the ones in Andalusia, and I'll certainly be heading the one in Tenerife in May time. So if you want more information on these, look at blevinsfranks.com. Go into our website, blevinsfranks.com. You can all look where they are, and you can place your book your place online.
Many thanks, Paul. We'll talk again in a month's time.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.